Today, I'm joined by Douglas Cox, film producer and owner of Shadow House Films. Douglas, welcome. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. Yeah, thanks very much for having me. It's it's a nice change to have a producer on. I know you've done it a couple of times before, but yeah, a bit nervous to be in front of the camera. I'm usually
Really?
really tucked away in the shadows.
Well, isn't Zoom like your second home now after the past 4 months?
You'd think so. I still forget, as I did at the beginning of this call, to unmute myself when I start. So I think the day I forget to do that is the day I've spent too much time on Zoom.
Maybe that's just like your subliminal mind telling you to keep yourself safe, and it's actually a safety mechanism,
Yeah,
you know?
maybe.
So let's dive right into this thing. Like, you are one of the, maybe the few people that has actually been busy proactively making a feature film during lockdown, which is nuts in a really cool, creative way. And now it's blown up, right? Like, let's talk a bit about Host. It's before I spoke to you a few weeks ago, you just finished post, I think, and it just picture locked. Was that right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, it's been a bit of a whirlwind journey, really. We sh sort of de developed, prepped, shot, edited, and released this feature film within 3 months. And we, it was all made at the height of kind of like COVID quarantine. So in like strict lockdown conditions, things began to ease as we moved into post-production, to be fair. But when we were shooting, we were, amongst the first sort of productions, really kind of actively figuring out ways to do things. And to be fair, we had an incredibly unorthodox way of filming, which, I think is what enabled us to kind of buck the trend the way we did. It's been a bit of a wild adventure that I've gone on, and all along the way with a lot of my filmmaking friends. It was our little gang of people that we know and have spent the last few years working together on various projects. We kind of teamed up and got busy during lockdown. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and yeah, to see the response and the way that the horror community in particular has sort of embraced the film. And it seems like it's sort of reaching outside of that now as well. And it's a real treat to see something that you've sunk your heart and soul into get kind of welcomed into the filmmaking world in such
For
a way.
real,
So
man. I
very
mean,
happy.
that's the reason why we do it. And I guess it must be weirdly rewarding that it's so quick, because normally, obviously, we're talking years from concept to in the big wide world. So have you even been able to process any of that? Because there's so many moving parts to what you do as a producer. You must be like thinking that you're still in development stage some days, because that's, what it normally would be.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, yeah, maybe I haven't. Maybe I'll sit down one day and be like, oh yeah. But I mean, at the moment, I mean, I'm still delivering aspects of the film. Like obviously it's out now and online, but there's a huge amount of like, the legals and documents and stuff that are still just being kind of sent through and delivered. We shot without a script. It was based off of a kind of an outline and improvised. And so like with documentaries, we're still, we've got the script made and that's going through all the neg checks and all that stuff. So there's lots of things still going on, and working to try and get something else going off the back of it. It's, one of the big things in this industry is like when things start moving,
Momentum.
yeah, I mean, make the most of it because it's a fun time. And I've definitely missed momentum before. And it's not something. You could definitely generate it, but it's definitely something to enjoy when it happens and not worry too much when it doesn't. But when it does, I think it's always good to try and take as best advantage of it as you can,
That's the whole thing of, as a producer, what's on your slate, and do you have more than two or three things, and be ready for when those moments come, I guess, because this is organic. I mean, you weren't expecting this to happen in the way it has. I'm assuming it wasn't planned to even film anything during lockdown. Like, how did this all sort of come to be at such a weird time for sort of the global society? Like, where'd the
Yeah.
brain thought come from?
I mean, it came from Rob Savage. That's where it came from. Rob Savage and I mean, me and Rob have been friends for a while, and I it kind of like speaks volumes of the way. Oh, I think it speaks volumes of the way I carry myself as a producer. Like my ethos is very much, filmmaking is about people. I've never really come through that kind of traditional sort of development side of production through film school or through any kind of learning curves like that. I kind of I just worked on set and sort of moved into the space that way. So for me, it's always been really important to really nurture these relationships and people that you share films with. And Rob and I have made a bunch of short films. The first one, I think, was back in, 2012. And it's interesting, in fact, that I was thinking about this the other day, Callum, our sound designer, and Dan Hawkins, who did all the titles and loads of VFX work, and others, I'm sure. Like, but those two in particular stuck in my head as people who we worked with on that very first film. And we all kind of accidentally came across each other. And so we've just stayed in touch. And you know, Rob and I are part of the same gang. We were hanging out on WhatsApp and doing Zoom calls and quizzes and all the rest of it, just like everybody else. And then he's just like, he got bored, and he's a horror director and he's bored. So what does he do? He creates some like really nasty prank video where he like decides to get everyone on a Zoom call to go up and investigate this thing, this noise in his attic that he'd been seeding for weeks as well. And he'd rigged up this contraption and cut in a moment from the film Wreck. And he just scared the crap out of everybody. And then posted, cut it, recorded it, cut it together, put it online. And it went viral. And so from the back of that, you know, everyone's looking at it, all the the studios in America in particular, looking at it and going, well, who's this guy? He can make something that everyone wants to watch. And Shudder ultimately, you know, really just bought into it and trusted us to make something on our own terms, which was, I think, the most important thing. And they kind of trusted us to just go out, find our kind of people and make something based off of just a pretty loose idea. It was like some friends do a Zoom seance and it goes wrong. And that's how we made Host, basically.
I like how that's come from sort of a bit of a practical joke and a prank that then just has taken you all the way to, you know, on deadline.com and like blowing up online. And were you on like Good Morning America or something? Yeah. I've not made that up, have I? You like? No,
you'd think though, right? We were on a segment called Binge This on Good Morning America. And so we were on just after the Seth Rogen's new film, the Pickle film.
Right. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I've got an amazing voice memo from Haley, who's one of our cast. She's American. And I sort of popped it into our WhatsApp group. We're going to be on Good Morning America. And most people, I don't think, really knew what it was. And then Haley just has this amazing, like, voice memo. She's like, oh, my God, what? So it's, yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff's
that's mainstream. Like, the point is, it's kind of mainstream, not just within the industry of Deadline being mainstream, but mainstream, like, just, you know, regular Joe Blow who doesn't know much about the industry getting views of it. And do you think that that's sort of testament to the fact that you made something so well so quickly and were able to turn it around in a time where people are craving content?
Yeah, I think definitely the speed at which we turned it around is a factor. I think, you know, horror as well is, you know, it's not everyone's cup of tea, but I think one of the things it does very well is speak to moments in our, you know, society's time and place. And I think there'll be more films talking about this particular time in our lives. It's quite interesting. I think being the first of those films out was a factor. And also just like, you know, really embracing this idea of working with our friends. And so the actors all knew each other, and it added to like a found footage film, which this mm-hmm. is, like, it added this real extra sense of kind of grounded sort of performance, because they had this pre-existing relationship, as did Rob, as did I. And so that whole, you know, it was fun. I mean, it was stressful as hell, like, you know, but it was also fun. Like, you know, if I could wake up every morning and make films with my friends, then, you know, that would be the absolute dream.
And you know, make friends with your films too. Both
you have to do that sooner or later. But I think also, like, you know, it is interesting that we, you know, me and Rob and Jed, who's Rob's one of Rob's real creative partners, like, we've made films within the horror community for quite a while. We made Absence, Dawn of the Death, and Salt, and they really kind of helped shape our sensibilities as filmmakers, but also introduced us and enabled us to reach out and communicate with the community of people who love horror films and genre films in general. And I think they were, from our perspective, like, they are who we were serving for the film. And what's really lovely is that they embraced it. And then off of the back of that and all the buzz and joy from that, it sort of spread into the kind of more mainstream audience. And that's that's great, and that's really, really exciting. And you know, I guess like I think everyone's been spending too much time on Zoom. So like, we made a film, a horror film on Zoom,
to get us off it.
People, the shits about Zoom. So now
they'll just move to Skype and like Google Hangouts now instead.
Yeah, that's even worse for you know, it's less protection from the spirits.
Less protection from the spirits. Those seances should be Zoom only, and now that's being breached. Party's up.
Yeah.
I like what you're saying though. You're talking about tribe in two different ways. You're talking about know your audiences. Who are your films for? Because that's what brought you to the party, and obviously you want to cater to them. But also, as filmmakers, have your tribe, know the people that you work with. But that it's not really—I mean, it is a work relationship, but actually, it's beyond that. It's a partnership. It's a friendship. It's you're growing together. And if you look at anyone in the industry, you kind of see those patterns everywhere. Like that really is what it's about. Otherwise, you don't make art by yourself.
You can't. Yeah, that's a good point. And I think Host is a perfect example. Like Rob's mentioned it a bunch of. This is a film that's a real testament to collaborative engagement. Like, so this film is as much the cast as it is Rob's, as it is mine, as it is our editor, as it is everybody who took part. All 46 people who made a material contribution to this film. Like, it wouldn't have happened without any single one of them. And certain people in particular, their work is just very visible on screen. So it's that was really fun. And I think, you know, trust for me is everything. You know, this industry is, you know, it's no secret that this industry's got a real sharkiness to it. And it's something that, you know, if you decide to make a career here, you're going to come up against at some point or another. And, you know, it's one of these things that you either let it wreck you or you just like, you know, you work hard to be the solution rather than part of the problem. And I think, you know, I've definitely been on the receiving end of some sort of pretty nasty stuff in terms of projects and people that kind of don't treat you with very great amounts of respect or, you know, or consideration. And I think really for me, all that does is drive down a deeper desire to not do that myself. You know, it's like, you know, this
I find that really interesting because you're right. You need a thick skin to get into this line of work, not maybe just because of the people, but also because it's not the most secure career path in the world where you do a bunch of things and you're going to get to a certain point. Like there is no rhyme or reason to it. But what I find interesting is from a lot of the people I've spoken to, and maybe you have had the same experience, the more young, like our generations and younger seem to be a lot of the ones that are talking about this idea of create a new way of working, a way of working that is more embracing, that is more collaborative, that is more equal footing, where you are empathetic to people as humans and not just as pawns in a machine. Not dissuading that it's a business, because it is, of course, but to operate in a way that is a bit more favorable, I guess, to the fact that we're all just humans and we're going to make mistakes and try our best.
Yeah, I mean, be kind, be considerate, be empathetic, understand that, you know, it's human beings that you're working with, not people that will help you get the next rung up the ladder. And I think that's where the industry can, it kind of drives this sense of competition. And I think the thing that's really clear to me, at least, is that when one person succeeds in an industry, the whole industry benefits. And so, you know, championing each other and promoting and supporting each other, knowing that their success means it'll be easier for you to gain success yourself rather than the other way around, I think is the way, well, it's the way I look at it anyway. And
no, yeah.
I think you're right. There's a generational shift. I think the thing that I'm personally really interested in is, you know, learning about how it's done, like on a, how to phrase this. I don't want to go in a kind of naive capacity to certain meetings, knowing that I have a different outlook on things. It's really important to me that I understand why things have been done in a way before, because it'll help me understand how to do it differently. And I think knowing what's round the bend kind of helps you kind of cut those corners a little bit. And I, you know, it's always been a philosophy of mine, like if I'm producing, I want to know how everyone does their job. Because if I'm going to ask someone to do something, I'd like to know what that involves and what I'm asking them to do.
I suppose this film was sort of a real tantamount example of that because people were having to wear multiple hats all the time, right? So for you, what was that like, obviously producing a feature film, but when you are literally away from everything, as everyone else was as well, like, was it challenging? Do you just kind of do it and roll with it? What were some of the key takeaways, I guess, from your side?
There were definitely good and bad points. Like I enjoyed working from home. Like I thought there was a lot of benefits to that. Like you gained a bit more of the day, I gained a little bit more shooting time. Me and Savage were like, we have a slightly ridiculous working ethic. So we were working some silly hours, the two of us. But there was a lot of interesting things, like being able to be part of the filming and being really witness to everything that was going on set, whilst also having access on another monitor to all my other work so that I could multitask throughout the day and I could keep an eye on scheduling and keep an eye on budget. And kind of, I found my own personal productivity went up, you know. Mm. But it was also, you know, the understanding of people comes when you're spending time with them. And I think this film only really worked in such a remote way because we knew each other anyway. Like I knew what I was asking people and I knew, you know, I could phone them up and have a chat because they're all of our friends. Like we've been hanging out for ages. So that
trust,
really helped.
The trust was there.
Yeah. And I mean, things like, you know, we did some sort of like things that people would just have like laughed at, you know, and I almost laughed at when they said, Rob was like, can we set someone on fire? And I was like, maybe. And then we worked it out. And of course, yeah, we could, of course. There's ways to do things that are safe. And, you know, really for me, doing something in lockdown was like, the first thing was like, how do we do this safely where everybody is, you know, not just sort of secure in the sort of circumstances where you would normally set someone on fire, for example, but also social distancing is adhered to. Like, how can we get around all of those problems? And it wasn't easy, but we did it, like, you know, and everybody came out safe and healthy and hale, and that to me is probably the greatest achievement here.
I love that film is probably the only medium where we can be talking openly about setting people on fire and have it be totally cool. It's the best.
I think it was like a challenge of Rob's. He kept starting off the days with things like, so that scene we were going to just do in the kitchen, now I want a bottle to come up and like smash over the back of someone's head and knock her out. Can we do that? It's like the morning of the shoot. Like, not today we can't, but
give me an hour or two to figure it out.
Give me a couple of days and we'll figure it out. Yeah.
It's like a big puzzle always, but with this case, it's a puzzle that no one's put together before. So you, I guess, were going a little bit blind into some of it.
Absolutely. I quite like that pressure, though. I've always been someone who learns by doing. I'm not afraid of making mistakes. And I think that's a really positive way to look at things. And it's something I always try and instill in people who are working with me or for me. And, you know, you can't be afraid of making mistakes because then you'll never try anything new, right?
Exactly.
It's quite an age-old sort of saying. But I think if you surround yourself with people who you can trust and who you can trust to do their jobs properly, then, you know, you know, even if mistakes are made, you can hopefully identify them along the way. And I think, you know, it gives you a space where you can really minimize the impact of that kind of stuff. And, you know, this whole process was, you know, how do we make a film in quarantine, you know, and a film that is not just a film, but something that's like impressive and that, you know, speaks to the previous work that we've done. So it was a challenge for sure. But, you know, we stepped into it shoulder to shoulder with people who we knew were up for that challenge as well. And so it was always a spirit of like, how do we do this rather than we can't do that?
It is that thing of, you know, you are as good as the people that are around you. And when that comes together and aligns and you all have the same kind of mindset and ethos, then you can make shit happen. And mistakes are par for the course. Like you said, I mean, you can't make anything, whether it's a film or a business, without slipping up somewhere and learning from it. So, you know, kudos to you guys for doing that. I want to touch on the point you made about being a big advocate of doing the do and the sort of DIY approach that you clearly have in your kind of DNA. Because I know from our chats, you didn't do the film school route. You didn't go down that road. You kind of just went in and started to make stuff. So it'd be interesting if you could speak to that a little bit, like, your sort of origin story, I suppose, a bit of how you started out and the inspiration to get into.
Yeah, I fell into a vat of radioactive whiskey when I was a boy. Dude,
I mean, that's a good comic book hero. Go for it.
I guess origin story. I mean, okay, yeah. So I grew up in Scotland, and I studied sound production for about a year and a half on the West Coast near Glasgow. And I think I'm quite comfortable now talking about academia as something that, like, whilst I'm okay at, it wasn't really a kind of, I didn't find it like a really great way of learning. I never really responded to it. It sort of kind of didn't ever kind of sit right with me. And so about a year and a half into that college course, I dropped out, much to my parents' dismay, and started working for one of my lecturers doing like live sound for some bands and stuff. And then I worked at the Edinburgh Fringe, and I met my girlfriend there and was doing lots of like live comedy shows and doing all the tech stuff for them and venue managing and stuff. And so my girlfriend, who I met at the Fringe, she was living in London. So she left to come back to London, and I basically sort of followed her down. And I was starting working, gigging in bars, doing sounds, started tour managing a bit. Kept doing the comedy circuit. So I ended up working with some really cool comedians, people like Tim Key, Claudio Doherty, Aisling Bea, Jamie Demetriou, like folk that you now see on the telly. And it's like, you know, they're people that, you know, I just spent a lot of time with developing their shows and figuring out how to kind of make the live experience work for people. And so a lot of my time was spent with audiences and in venues and kind of, you know, in entertainment. I also fell into running and third ADing for TV shows, which again was not really part. I didn't really understand anything about it. I was just trying to earn enough money to
live in London.
And so, yeah, I did that for a year, about 7 years, really, from the age of about, you know, 18, 19. And then really kind of got to a point where I just had not really kind of developed a career. I was just doing lots of different things. And sat myself down one day and was like, I need to figure out something that I really want to do. Like, you know, I just want to have some focus. And I sat down in a coffee shop and I started writing sort of things like jobs that I thought I might enjoy or that I thought I might be good at, and would go through lists of stuff. And I went through lists of things that I thought would be good or that would be bad or that I would enjoy or wouldn't enjoy. And I got to producing and I kind of started writing stuff, and I wrote a couple of pages of things I thought I would enjoy or things that I thought I would be good at, and just got sort of carried on writing. I was like, oh, well, maybe this is the one. And so Bridget, my girlfriend, who's a fabulous production designer, she introduced me to a production company called Bullion. And they took me on as a runner for a short film they were doing called The Brain Hack, with Matador Films. And I went and did that and just grafted. And then Matador took me on. Charlotte Walls at Matador took me on to be like a little development shadower in their company. And I just sort of kind of worked my way in, did some stuff at Bullion. They started getting me producing music videos and things for them. So I did a lot of that. And I ended up getting a call from them. They'd taken on a short film. And they needed someone to come and run the production. And it was Rob Savage. And it was a film called Healy's House that he'd written with Kate Herron. And so I kind of came on. And that's how I met Rob. And that's also how I met Kate. And, you know, I'm working with Kate now on a series project. And she's obviously off shooting, like, Loki and Sex Education previously. And it's really interesting to see that sort of, you know, that gang from the beginning kind of transition up. And I think it's, you know, from there, it's just sort of been a step process where, you know, we've made films and then I've kind of carried on working in below the line production to earn a living.
Yeah.
And that's kind of been really helpful, especially for something like Host, where, you know, I've got a background working in high end TV and low end TV and, like, you know, independent features and stuff. And so I've done it all as a production manager, as a coordinator. So I kind of knew all the right people to call and all the right things that we needed to do. And, you know, I think it's been a journey of just learning by doing, really. And for me, that's been how I kind of respond. And I've been very fortunate with the people I've met along the way. And, I like to think that I've done right by them along the way as well. And, you know, So I think that sort of stands in good stead moving forward.
Well, I don't think you'd be working together with them still if that wasn't the case. And, you know, you do kind of draw people to you as you go through your journey, and they kind of come into your inner circle anyway. But yeah, it's interesting how often that comes up, though, people that just connected randomly through some, like, by fate or chance moment. And then next thing you know, like 10 years later, they're an overnight success.
Well, to be honest, Matt, like, I think, and I'm sure, I mean, I know every producer probably, and I would say most other people as well in this industry have a moment that they can attribute to like how they got started or how things really kicked into gear for them. And I think a lot of it is about acknowledging opportunity and taking it. And I think, you know, from my perspective, it's always been about just always committing. You know, if you're going to do something, just really commit to it and give it everything you can. Which can at times feel pretty tough, you know, and especially, you know, there's always going to be circumstances where people don't give you much credit or consideration. And I think, you know, with those ones, you suck it up and say, okay, well, that wasn't to be, that wasn't the right relationship. But like you say, when you meet your tribe, you know, you get a feeling for it. You get a sense that these are people I enjoy working with. They bring out the best in me, or I enjoy spending time with them. And Rob and Jed, for me, were two people who really, they pushed me to the extremes of what I was capable of, you know, and like they asked a huge amount from a producer, both, you know, developmentally and like, you know, on
creatively production. And yeah.
And so it really, like, you know, for all the extra kind of gray hairs it gave me, it was also a real feeling, you know, when I come back from a day of filming on one of our projects, there's work being done and I feel really satisfied with it. And so, you know, whilst it's not always the easiest, it's very rewarding ultimately. And I think, you know, being aware of those kind of things is really helpful.
I mean, that's creativity though, right? That's what it takes if you want to make something that you feel like you've poured everything you got into it. And if you're not going to do that, what's the point of making it in the first place? And the gray hairs are going to come anyway, so why not get a few earlier than later? What difference does that make?
Yeah, for sure.
There's a few kind of strands to that, but I think the thing that would be interesting to talk to is, you know, the idea of people that are maybe starting out and wanting to look at how to navigate that journey from the early kind of years. And we're talking about this being a process, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's an easy trap for anyone to fall into, to try and almost unorganically try and overplan or engineer your career path. I do believe you need some goals and ideas of where you're going, but obviously there is that kind of aspect of just saying yes to things like you were speaking to a few moments ago, and where that then leads you to. What kind of advice would you have, or tips would you have for anyone who is, whether it is a film school grad or a non-film school grad, just someone wanting to start getting into the world a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I'm really passionate about. I think, like, screen education, for, I don't know if that's the right word or not, but like learning about how this industry works and figuring out a place that you feel comfortable within, like working within it, is like, it's very hard, like, because there's not like a film school, obviously is a wonderful place where you can surround yourself with peers and other like-minded people, and I think like that's hugely beneficial if you can afford to do that, and you have the, or if you're lucky enough to get a scholarship or something, then that's wonderful. And I think it's such a great place to go and experience that and get that kind of really intense training. And I think probably one of the best things from it, from people I know, is the people they meet, you know, and actually that's where I think the real crux of a start that progresses to something more comes from. It's putting yourself into situations where you can meet people and not going and hounding them at bars, but like, you know, sharing time at festivals, going to like film talks, especially nowadays, like, you know, I mean, there's so much going on Zoom, you know, and you can access people online quite easily. And I think, you know, reach out, like, you know, if you know, what's the worst that's going to happen? They're not going to get back to you. Like, so be it, you know? And I think, you know, spending time in spaces where people who are on a similar level to you are also existing. So, you know, film festivals are a great space to kind of enjoy that kind of feel, like a bar. And you know, a bar is a great place, right? You know, everyone wants to have a drink and chat a little. And one thing about filmmakers is, you know, we all have a bit of an ego, right? So everyone likes talking about their projects. It's quite easy with a pint to just sort of get someone chatting. And I think those are the moments where you can really develop those kind of connections. I think, you know, finding people who are, you know, equally passionate or want to do similar things, you know, and being conscious of, you know, of people. I've lost count of the amount of times people come to me with films that are really kind of different to the kind of things that I make, and that's fine. Like, but you know, there should be an understanding there that, like, you know, this is not really going to sit well amongst the slate of projects if it's, you've not done your research about somebody. If you're going to approach someone, spend a little bit of time getting to know what they're all about, because it will really help those kind of conversations.
And I guess know yourself well enough to know what you're bringing to the table too, even if you've not made anything yet. Kind of know what your thoughts are on certain topics, what interests you, what themes you're drawn to.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not the best. I mean, there's people who are, like, I'm an oddity, I think, in some respects, because I don't come from a place where, like, I don't know, like, I always worry that I don't watch enough films, or that I don't, like, you know, do enough kind of my own hobby and stuff to really focus in on that. And I think it's interesting, because really watching films and reading, I mean, I love comics. Comics have always been a huge part of my life. And, you know, I think just enjoy it, and try not to lose the sense of joy that you get from watching things. I definitely got up to a point where I was overanalyzing everything I saw and trying to pick apart, like, how it was made. And
From a producer's mindset, you were
just like filmmaking sense. And I think, I don't know. I'm rambling a little. I've diverted from what you asked, right? But I guess that the main thing is for me is finding people who share values in terms of what they want to do, and be really tuned into opportunities and sort of say yes to everything. Like, you know, if you can, you know, I'm aware that not everybody's in a position to always take time off to go and give themselves over for free to go and make something. But, you know, if you can, try and sort of figure out ways to spend time and get to know other people who are making things, because building your tribe is one of the most important things. And if you can't afford it, or you know, if you're struggling to carve that time out, then, you know, there's places that can help with that sort of thing. There's quite a lot of schemes, especially nowadays, that are really supportive of people that are coming from different socioeconomic backgrounds. And, you know, I think especially with producers, like, you know, I'm one, and I'm sharing the Insight program with a lot of other producers who I know come from similar backgrounds, where we're really responsive to people who come from sort of slightly less advantageous backgrounds. And I think, I really hope it's an opening up of the industry in that sense, because there's so many stories to be told from different perspectives. And I think we've had a lot of similar perspectives for many, many years. And I'm excited to be seeing some new ones coming through on screen.
Yeah, it's always important, I think, to make sure that the voices that are writing and talking about specific things and experiences or places are actually from those places or had those experiences. And there's only a certain frame of reference that I could have on a particular thing, or you could have on a particular thing. And, you know, the world is a big old tapestry, and it's slowly getting there, but I think there's a long way to go.
We can share those experiences, though, you know, like, that's why those kind of films are so important. So, like, you know, you meet someone who's got a particular view or a particular kind of perspective on the world, then work with them and make something cool. Like, you know, that's the sort of way to do it, you know. And don't be too, I think the other thing I would say is, like, there's so many different ways to find a path through this industry. Like, you know, I think every opportunity every chance is an opportunity, you know. So that sounds super vague, I realize, but I guess what I'm saying is, like, I've done gigs where I've been just a driver, or I've gone and said, oh yeah, I'll come and be like a runner for this, or I'll drive your kit out, and you know, I've ended up bumping into people who I still, you know, stay in contact with today. And if you find yourself in those environments, you know, see how to make the most of it.
Yeah, no, it's going back to that kind of core theme, I think, of this chat, which is about the people and the connections that you make, but that sometimes they happen in weird little ways that you can't really plan for. And it's just being open to to what life brings your way. And I'm going down a vague path here as well. But
well, one big tip I have, and it's something it's very small in one respect, but as a producer, I think something that I think was given to me when I was doing Cars at the London Film Festival, and I had a boss called Leon, who he was always very adamant to thank the drivers who were working with us every day at the end when we'd phone them up and say your shift's over. And he'd say, you have to say thank you. You always say thanks very much. And I've taken that on with me as a producer. You're bringing people on and asking of them, like, you know, in whether it be working for free or working for not very much or working fully paid, you know, you're still asking them to do something. And I think when a day is finished, if you can find that time to go around and say thank you to everybody, it goes such a long way. You know, it's one of these little gestures that you can do to just make sure that, you know, you're remembered as the person who was considerate enough to reach out to a runner and say thanks for your time, because that runner 5 years down the line could come up with like some badass idea for a film, and then you're away, you know.
And even if not, it's just making people feel good and valued in the moment for what they've done, and no expectations of maybe in 5 years they are going to blow up, but it's just being a good person, man. It's what you said before, just be kind.
But yeah, and like reputation is a big thing. You know, this industry talks, like everybody knows each other one way or another. How many degrees, I don't know. But if you're a good person and kind to people around you, then, you know, fine, you may get taken advantage of on occasion. But I tell you right now, in my experience, the karma that comes back to you and the goodwill that comes back to you will always win, ultimately. Like, and that is, for me, the optimism of this industry. Is like, yeah, there are things that can knock you, but if you maintain a positive attitude, I do think that the opportunities that come back will always outweigh it. And I mean that's very much my philosophy, at least. And I am a hopeless optimist, I think. So
it's the only thing can be.
Maybe you need that as a producer.
Maybe you, well, that's, no, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, exactly. You've got to be a hopeless optimist and have a good bottle of whiskey at your bedside just in case you have a rough day.
Yeah, for sure.
Going through. Awesome. So let's talk a little bit more about that sort of idea of collaboration, but specifically, I guess, with you and Rob, because obviously you've done a few films before. You've now done Host. I want to talk specifically about this idea of shorthand and whether you have one or not. Like, have you developed a way of working that is very sort of just intuitive now, or is it still more sort of cut and dry?
I don't know. I think communication is a big one for me. Like, I would like to be, like, I think communication is the most important skill that you can develop as a producer. Like, you're in the middle of a huge amount of people, and you have to be able to communicate to every single one of them, especially when you're starting, if you're working on shorts or if you're working on sort of, you know, projects that ask you to not just be a producer, but a line producer and like, you know, all a location manager and all these other things that are a bit crappy to have to do at the beginning, but, you know, you will keep having to do them for a while. Sorry. But like, you know, and then, you know, being able to like transfer that information to people and to be able to like really understand what folk want and, you know, articulate it to others. I think in terms of shorthand with me and Rob, like, I don't know, like, yes, I guess so. It's not something I really think about. And so I couldn't really explain if we have one, what it is, but
there is something,
but there is something there. Like, and we were chatting about this earlier, like today, in fact, we definitely understand each other. And like, he understands when I need something of him, or I need him to change something, you know, it's a conversation that often results in a totally different way of doing things. So he asks to do something, I say, we can't do that. And then what the reality of that is that we find a different way to do it. So it's never me saying no, and it's never him saying, I need it to be like that. It's just, okay, let's just find a new path. And I think in terms of shorthand, that's possibly the best way to describe it, is like, you know, it's very much a
problem solving.
Yeah. There's only speed bumps. There's never a wall, or if there is, you can smash through it.
That's a good t-shirt idea. You got to put that on a t-shirt and start selling that on the side. Obviously there's a lot of creative aspects to what you do as a producer, and that's not always something that people on the outside maybe would think a producer's job is. I'm getting that more and more from the people I'm talking to. that, you know, the common conception is you do the finance and you get the funding and you like manage the set. But there's this huge creative element that obviously is a big part of it, if not the main part. From your point of view, though, are there any other like big misconceptions that you think people have, or any sort of things like that are worth demystifying to give people a better feel for what you actually do?
Well, it's an interesting point. It's something that I've struggled with for years, in fact. I'm sure most producers have. Like, the interesting thing, or my perspective on this, is actually like there are just different types of producers, you know? Like, you know, I'm on the Insight Scheme with 11 other really amazing producers, and we all have a completely different skill set, you know? For me, like, I'm having not really undergone any formal training, like, I'm not the strongest development producer. Nor am I like super well versed in financing and contractual stuff, because it's not a world I'm that familiar with. I'm learning lots about it and enjoying it. And I love development in the sense of I'm really, really good at building teams of people that work well together and crafting an environment where things and conversations and you know, ideas can flow. But really my main skill set is production. Like, you know, and it's interesting, it's a space that I think a lot of producers can find a bit uncomfortable, actually, like being on set and being creative on set, not just with the finances, but in understanding how the logistics of something need to come together, how to achieve things. And yeah, I mean, it's just about finding the right people for things. And I think, you know, if you've got a producer that is committed to a project, then they'll turn their hand into everything. I think one of the real traits of a producer is, you know, someone you're just not afraid to dive into every aspect of it. And you just will naturally have bits that you're better at experientially, really. But I think really the big thing a producer can offer, which people don't realize, is a real confidant, like someone who can stand by you through a process, and that only works if you trust them and you know that they want to achieve the same thing. And that's not an easy thing to do, but you know, there's all too often, you know, it's the classic thing at the beginning where you look at a producer and you're like, well, I need someone to make my film, I need money to make my film, I need someone to like get the equipment and the crew and like find the location and do all this stuff. And like, yeah, a producer will do that on short, but they'll also, they need to be creatively engaged often, like, you know. And so it's not, if you're just expecting them to do that job, that's a line producer, or there's lots of different jobs that are rolled into one. And I think if you embrace a producer as a partner, you know, on a project, and I'm sure other producers that you've had on to chat will say similar things, you know, that's the holy trinity, is that the director, the writer, and the producer. It's like they're the kind of driving force at the beginning of a project, and that's how a team begins. And it's then building around that and finding a space where all of those creative talents can blossom. And for me, it's not about being a creative voice, but about enabling that creative voice.
Okay.
And so I like to have I have good taste in other people's tastes. You know, I think I like to think that the people I work with, I have a huge amount of trust in the project they bring. And I think I know quite well how to surround them with people who bring out the best in those ideas.
It's interesting because it starts to get into this, you know, area of leadership and, dare I say, management. But that whole, you know, cultivating and curating an environment for people to live in and do their best work in. And yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think it is a similar line to what a lot of people have said about being a confidant and being that creative sort of, I guess, sounding board. But definitely being more than just the person that goes and gets the money and that's it, which yeah. I think people do think it is on the outside.
I think leadership's a good one. I think, like, you know, it's as a producer, you're going to have to make decisions and you're going to have to be comfortable making decisions. And some of those decisions are going to be saying no to people. And that's something that can be quite tricky, because especially if someone's looking at you as someone who's an enabler, you have to have faith in your own judgment to go back and say, actually, no, this is not something that we can do. And, you know, coming up against that, you know, I've done that a lot in like music videos and working with like directors who've been at it a lot longer than I've been producing, and actually turning around and being like, no, actually, what you're asking for here is not acceptable because of what that means in terms of other people's time and you know, safety and everything else. And so, you know, but it is about communicating that. Again, it all comes back to like, how do you then tell that person no in a way that doesn't just get their back up and make them hate you because you're telling them no.
And then get you off the next project because indirectly they know someone that, you know, they've ratted out to you. And yeah.
Also, like, how do you help them make what they want to make? You know, it's like, you know, no, you can't do that. But why not do it like this? Or like, how about we move tomorrow a bit so that everyone can rest enough so that they're not coming and they're going to be exhausted and you'll get a shit day on set. You know, it's little things that, you know, just paying attention to the people around you and communicating that properly.
How did you find that? Or at the beginning, like, was saying no something that you didn't have an issue with, or did you have to get over a few little barriers? No.
No. I was a yes dude for ages.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah, of course. And then I would sort of tie myself up in knots trying to figure out how to get things done. And then I'd eat up my own waking hours to just figure things out and put all of my energy in that way. But I think it's like anything. It's a skill. You have to learn to trust your instincts, and that comes with experience a lot of the time. You know, you say yes and then go, why did I say yes? Now I'm carrying 10 bits of equipment up 2 flights of stairs again. Like, or why am I unloading the lighting van at 4 in the morning again?
And the more you do it, the more it's just the expectation that Douglas will just keep doing that.
Well, no, but it's not even just that. It's more just like, well, I've done this and that's fine. Like, you know, I committed to it and I've got no problem doing it, but I don't enjoy doing this. How can I avoid this happening again? You know, and learning from that and going, well, okay, next time, maybe let's not schedule everything in for this days on the week so that we have to get everything back then. We could take it back tomorrow morning or, you know, whatever. Like, it's like there's loads of little things, and, you know, the minutiae is irrelevant. The main thing is like, learn from the process each time. And I think really take some time between experiences to like really process what's been good and what's been bad about it, you know. And I don't do that, and I you know, I didn't used to, at least anyway. And so, you know, taking time to reflect on things is something that I think is, you know, not often done, and sometimes there's just not room for it because we're always so busy moving from one thing to the next and trying to earn a living. So if you can find time to go take a walk in the woods and, you know, or take a walk down the street or wherever it is, and just have a little contemplate on things, I think that can be really helpful.
Yeah, I like that. I don't think it's spoken about enough in terms of just, if nothing else as well, just giving yourself a moment to appreciate what you've done, because making anything is fucking tough. I don't care what anyone says. Like, if you think about it, every time a film is made, it's kind of a minor miracle that you bring all these moving parts and people together in a way that actually puts something out at the end of it. And, you know, I think everybody that gets involved in that process does deserve a lot of credit, no matter what the opinion of the art is at the end is irrelevant. Just,
yeah. And I think it's interesting, actually, that you've reminded me of something that really helped, because when I was starting out, a lot of the time I would question what I was doing. I'd like, I don't know, like, you know, I think it's a particular industry where you can work incredibly hard and not be sure whether it's been worthwhile or not. And especially when you look at people around you and go, oh,
which is always good to do. Always good to do.
Well, I think it is important to do. But the thing that's more important is to understand that instead of judging yourself against the other people around you, judge yourself against yourself a year ago. Like, it was a piece of advice that was given to me a while back, and it really, really helped. Because if you turn your mind back to where you were a year before, it's usually a much better indicator of how you're progressing. And maybe you've not progressed very far, but maybe you've learned something, or maybe you've completed a job, or you've done this, or you've met these many people. And it's a much easier way to quantify your own achievements than to look at somebody else and go, oh, well, I've not done that, you know. And it, you know, I think it helps also be able to embrace and celebrate others, because really, like, this industry is built, especially the independent sector, is built on each other's success. So when someone is doing well, it's really, really good for everybody. So yeah, I guess judge yourself on who you were a year ago rather than those around you now.
That's solid. No, solid, man. Definitely. I think not going to add anything more to that, because you kind of just buttoned it off nicely. What I am going to do is bring in, so Sean here is a film student. He's in the waiting room. Let's bring him in, and I'll shut up, give you a break from me, let him have a quick chat with you. Hey, Sean.
Hey, man.
Hey, sorry I'm late. I'm really positive about
I wasn't even looking at the time, so you could have said
that.
nothing. You would have been fine. You're on with Douglas, so I'll kind of leave you to it and let you guys have a bit of a chat.
Yeah,
Hey, Sean.
cool. Nice to meet you. Sorry if I look like really warm, by the way. It's so hot here.
Mate, don't even. It's fine. I'm Scottish. I can barely stand. I'm gonna have to peel myself off the sofa in a minute, right?
Fair enough. I just wanted to ask them the first question that's kind of been in my mind a lot is, I guess I've been trying to figure out a way to ask, how do you get in a position where you're working with people without going to the film school or anything like that, or having that kind of background? Because, a lot of people my age and a lot of people at film school assume that that is kind of like a necessary part of it. And it is scary thinking about, not going back or not having anything to do with that side of it, which is something I've been, thinking about a lot lately. So yeah, if you can speak on that, if you have any advice or anything really, it would help.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's difficult in a sense because everybody will have their own journey. Like, I mean, that is naturally the way it works. But I think from my experience, one of the things that I have found was incredibly beneficial to me, and I do try and pass it on, is like there are loads of production companies that make things for people, and especially like music production companies. And I guess I'm going to be a little London centric here, but know that's because this is where I am, and there are places that I know. But I know, that there are places that exist outside of London and companies that you can find. But they're almost always looking for runners. They're looking for people to come and take part on set, and they may not always be able to pay really well, but there are places where you can go and get a sense of how a set works, of how, people interact with each other. Start understanding the language of set and really just kind of get a feel for it and meet people as well. Because really, like when I say get into a space where you can meet people, I kind of mean get on set. Like, because it's all well to
Me
meet
too.
folk at a bar or a festival, but if you can wangle your way in as a runner or as a driver or as someone who's helping out, that's where you're guaranteed to meet people in the industry,
Course, yeah, that makes sense. So you think that's a very like important step in terms of, networking, because that is the way, I guess, that a lot of people get those opportunities, isn't it? Is kind of meeting people. Are you saying it's kind of a necessary part of that really is being part of sets and that kind of work?
It was really important to me. I mean, there's different
Yeah.
ways of doing it, but for me,
Oh, okay.
like I really like, I think everyone benefits from spending some time on set. I
Yeah,
think
of course.
being a runner, like, is really, really, really helpful for anybody. Like, no matter whether you want to be a director or a cinematographer or a writer, which are the main three, but also there's so many different ways of existing on set. And I think when you're a runner, you have the freedom to appreciate everybody's job. You have to work doing pretty menial kind of stuff, but it's a nice opportunity to witness how everybody interacts. And often, I mean, so like Dan Hawkins, who's a VFX artist on Host, he came on as a runner driver on the first short that I did. And me and him drove everybody around the country for like 2 days, or more. Right. And like, we've just stayed in touch. He lives around the corner now, we got drinking. It's like that's how we met. We just met by making something together. And it didn't matter that he was a runner, he was a friend. We developed that friendship over, spending loads of time together on set.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, no, I noticed that from the last time I did this. The idea of, just being friendly with people, you don't have to think of it as necessarily work. It's kind of that idea, just having those relationships and things. I also kind of just wanted to get an idea from your side of it, how someone like me who is looking to kind of be a director eventually, how you kind of find that relationship. Obviously, I know you spoke about being on sets, but in terms of, I don't know, I guess I'm trying to figure out for me the next step of, do I go back to uni to finish my final year now? Do I kind of just work on things and try and figure it out outside of that, because I'm going to have to do that anyway. And kind of, yeah, there's a lot there that I just said, but
Yeah, no, I mean, so as a director, I think, it's tricky. So I came out as a producer. I've never really wanted to be anything else. That's how I kind of came into it. But I think one piece of advice for everybody, and the same goes for me. I try and live by this, is like, you know, making films leads to making films, you know. So the more you can make, the better, whether it's a music video, whether it's, you know, like, so Charlotte Regan is a great example of this. She is an incredible director, and she just grafted by making films, by making music videos for people, you know. And it was like, you can find people who want things to be made, and you can make things with pretty much anything. We made Host with mobile phones, like, you know, the whole film. Like, so it is, you know, it's very possible to create things. And I think just try not to worry too much about equipment and technology. If you've got a good idea for a story and you know, and can, you know, I think the if you're looking for one piece of equipment that you absolutely need, is like a good way to record sound, because sound is so key. It's more important than picture, no matter what everybody says. Like, trust me.
No, I agree with you.
But like, if you've got a good idea, story, good story, good characters, you know, you can create with pretty much anything, and that's where you'll find your people as well.
I think just adding on to that as well, if you can speak on it, is the whole kind of, I mean, it's already really hard thinking about, you know, the way that you progress in this industry, but particularly getting into it now as well with everything going on, is that's been something that I personally, I reckon a lot of other people out there have been worried about, is, you know, it's not stopping anyone, but it's kind of, it's slowing things down, it seems like getting out there and making things with all the restrictions. I mean, have you noticed certain things like in your work or with your part in the industry as well?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. Like, so the way that we treated Host was like the sort of limitations, instead of looking at them as limitations, we looked at them as opportunities. So, okay, everyone's stuck at home, but that means that there's loads of people who would otherwise be working that are available. And because we're going to film it online, we can work with anybody and they don't need to exist in the same space. So we can work with people in all different countries all over the world. So there's lots of cool opportunities there, and there's different ways of making things. Like, obviously you can't do loads of stuff, but I think I would look at it as an interesting space to explore as a director. I think you'll already be looking for different ways to tell stories. And I think especially as the world moves and finds its way in this current kind of madness, then, you know, there will be naturally different ways of telling stories coming out. And I think there's lots of opportunities now to explore that. Like, the status quo of how things have been made is been torn up a little bit. And I think, you know, the industry is generally going to find, you know, take a while to find its feet.
But it could be a good thing at the moment. Yeah.
Well, it's not. I personally, and sorry to be a bit of a cynic here, I don't think it's going to settle properly for quite some time yet, and especially for independent film and for shorts in particular. It's really hard to find a way to do that safely without the kind of the benefits of, like, you know, additional finance and stuff. And it's like finding ways to use that to your advantage, though. And like, you know, if you put your mind to, like, rather than, oh, I wish this wasn't a problem, like, what are the opportunities that it offers us? And I obviously, that's very easy for me to say, but you know, for example, like I mentioned on Host, it was very much like, we have lots of talented people around the world that are not currently doing very much else, and that is still the case. So, you know, maybe think big about the kind of people you want to work with, because they might just be sitting at home waiting for something to do.
Yeah, to be fair, I found that the case already, to be honest. I mean, me and Ashley were going to work on a film that I was supposed to make at the end of my second year. And it was already sort of in progress. It was kind of towards the end of it, really. We were about to shoot in the next maybe month or so. And then obviously the lockdown happened. So instead of kind of, as you say, you know, it's all about your outlook. Instead of just thinking that I can't make anything, I tried to make something over Zoom, exactly kind of this, and we managed to make something that I don't know if Ashley agrees, but I thought it was quite good. Yeah. I thought it was you know, yeah, it's been a challenge, like you say, but yeah, it's definitely doable.
But right? Making things is everything, right? That's why we're here, you know. Like, make something. It doesn't matter if it's amazing or if it's crap. Like, you know, it could be somewhere in the middle, it could be one end, it could be the other, but you're creating something, you're learning more, and each experience is only going to make you stronger and kind of, you know, push you towards something else. And you know, it's either a really positive space that creates something great, or it's a learning experience, you know. Win or you learn, like that. That's, you know, that's a philosophy that I think is really kind of helpful.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've been looking into different sort of ways to make things at the moment. I've even been thinking about, I guess similar to this, like a podcast, like a fiction podcast, because I've seen that they're growing in popularity as well. And I don't know, it seems like a niche industry, but a lot of the time those podcasts get turned into films because they're already really polished, well-written scripts. And I was thinking that could just be a really good way for people who are struggling with making things to still write something, of course, and then without having, you know, the restrictions of filming anything, can just kind of have people voice it really, and with good sound design it could be.
Podcasts are great. They're a great way to explore creativity because they're one of the last sort of real creative mediums that's completely unencumbered. Like anyone can go and make a podcast. I mean, exactly. there's a lot of podcasts out there, to be fair, but I think if you're going to create something fiction, there's loads of cool, like Welcome to Night Vale's got a really interesting series. You know, that, like, there's loads of cool things, you know, explore creativity in all its forms, I think, you know, and you know, wherever you go with it, the more you experience it, the more people you'll meet. And like I was saying to Ash earlier, like, that's where you know the sum of multiple people is always going to be greater than you on your own. So, you know, try and find and collaborate with people and learn and grow together, because that's how all the best films and things are made, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, even now, you know, just this conversation is nice to talk to people again about film, you know, being a community for so long. Thank you though. It's really helpful. Sort of, I do think I tend to, much like everyone else at the moment, get into that state where you just don't have a good outlook on things, but it's nice to have somebody like you who kind of, you know, can change that a little bit. So
thanks, man. Well, look, I mean, just I guess try and stay positive. It's not the easiest of times, especially when we're all kind of separated from each other, because really, like, the fun is on set, in my opinion. Like, I enjoy hanging out with people, having a laugh, and, like, you know, it's a shame that doesn't exist in the same way, but we have experienced that on host in our own way over the last few months, and so it is there, it is possible. And I think, you know, it's going to require us all to just change our vision a little bit and just sort of glance in a different direction for a while. And I'm sure things will find a way back. And, you know, this film industry, it's incredibly flexible. Over the years, it's changed so many times, and I have no doubt it will find a way through this. And, you know, we'll be part of it, you know, we'll have to figure it out along the way.
Yeah, hopefully. Ashley, if you could send me the host link as well, then I'd love to check it out as well.
Yeah, I'm going to get Douglas to share all the links, so I'll share them with you and anybody who wants them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, you get a free trial, get it on Shudder. It's on a free trial up there. So,
really? On Shudder, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I keep seeing, I was actually looking at getting a trial of that because they have some quite good, they have that documentary about cursed films or something, I think it is. Yeah,
it's great. Yeah. There's loads of really good stuff up on the site as well. But there's a bunch of different codes you can use to get 30-day free trials as well. So I'll share them with Ash as well, so you can all have
them. That'd be really cool, yeah. And likewise, you know, I'm happy to, if I do end up making a podcast or anything, sharing it with you or with Ashley or anyone. If you want to check.
This is it. Whatever you make, share it. Like, you know, that is 101. Like, you know, be proud of what you make, share it, and then, like, you know, people are either gonna like it or they're not, and just take that in its best form, and you know, learn from it, enjoy it, you know, make things, share things, create and celebrate. You know, it's what this whole industry is about.
Perfect. Yeah. Thanks. I do appreciate it. It's given me a better outlook, I think, at the moment.
Cool, man. Well, look, yeah, enjoy, and you know. If you ever want to reach out, you know, you can find me pretty easily on the website and stuff. So by all means, drop us a line.
Will do, yeah. Cheers, I appreciate it.
Nice to meet you, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you. Cool, I'll hop off.
Take it easy.
See you later.
Awesome. Cool, dude. I'm mindful of time, so let's wrap this one up. I guess a little few moments to you really at the end here, just to, you know, share any kind of final thoughts or anything you want to wrap it up with, parting messages for people, and then, you know, where people can find you, connect with you on the socials, find out more about Host. Just take a moment to drop away.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the takeaway, there's no real, like, answer for anything that you can go and find. I mean, I trust me, I've looked myself, but there's lots of opinions and lots of different ways of doing it. And I'm always a big fan of hearing how other people found their path and took their journey, because every different experience has something that people can relate to. And I think exploring that and asking people when you meet them how they got to where they got to is always a good way to open those floodgates up a little bit. I challenge any director to not want to tell you how they got to where they got to. But enjoy people and embrace the goodness in filmmaking, because there's such a lot of positive outcomes from it. You know, it's a place where you can develop a community, you can develop a tribe, you can tell stories and you can share stories. And I think, you know, it's such an important part of our culture is sharing experiences. And I think, you know, even more so in these kind of times, the more different stories that we have access to, the better equipped we'll be to really understand each other. So, you know, that's my old kind of weepy philosophy at the end of this session. But yeah, look, I mean, I'm pretty easy to get in touch with. I've got a website which is undergoing maintenance, for lack of a better word, lead. Still trying to get it up and running. But there's a contact page there at shadowhousefilms.co.uk. And just find me on Twitter or on Instagram. I don't really do social media very much, but, you know, by all means hit me up and, you know, you can, well, when I finally check my Twitter, I'll get back to you and yeah, you can catch up. But I'm always really open to hearing from people and I'm quite happy to chat about things like any other filmmaker. You know, just ask me about myself and I'll ramble on for a while. So
awesome.
But yeah, thanks Ash for having me.
No, my pleasure. My pleasure, man.
Rambled on like a.
Not even. I would have cut you off if you were rambling and if it wasn't useful. So no, you're all good, man. Listen, thank you. It's been awesome. I really appreciate it. And send me all the links to everything for host, and I'll plug those away. Congratulations on, you know, the whole thing, the success that you're seeing now, but also just the, you know, feat of making it in the period that you made it in, and for being the first, you know, really, like, you guys are maybe going to look back in X number of years and realize there's a bit of a trailblazer thing that you did with that movie. So
yeah,
congratulations.
Well, hopefully we can go make another one, you know, that's the thing. Films, I think it was Jason Blum actually did a really interesting talk, which is worth watching, on the Sundance
one thing. Yeah.
He kept saying, I think it was films beget films. And I think it's, you know, like I was saying earlier, I think it's so true. You just make things and you know, I think naturally it will lead to another thing. And so yeah, hopefully we get to do another one soon. And you know, if it's anywhere near as well received, then I'll be super happy.
Awesome. Yeah, you can get on Good Morning America and Britain, and that'll be like the double whammy. Awesome. Well, listen, dude, I'm gonna leave you to it. I know you've got another call to get to, but thank you so much for doing it. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure, man. Thanks very much.
Take it easy. Bye bye.
Bye bye.